Hey, everybody, welcome back to another Rethink podcast. It's a really good day because Cole can't be here, and that's just always a good day. He's off vacationing or trying to...
I think he went up to Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Cool.
He needs to go to the gym and do more cardio, right? Because his chest to belly ratio is way out of whack.
I actually love Cole.
Oh, shut up, Ben. Anyway, so we have asked Steve Krieger.
You always have to speak up, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, everybody in the whole world thinks you're the nicest guy after this week's sermon, so just shut up, all right? Just sit there for a minute. Anyway, Stephen, our Longmont campus pastor, is here, and he's kind of like Cole, but smarter. It's like I like to say. Well, we all say that. You would agree with that. He's smarter than Cole.
I'm definitely skinnier.
Yeah.
Well... Okay.
Krieger's book smart and Cole is street smart.
No, don't tell him that.
he thinks
he was raised on the streets.
Yeah. Does this
the son of a dentist.
Raised on the streets.
Anyway, we're out of time. Sorry. But anyway, no, I asked Stephen, who's he and Ben are kind of, I'll just say it, kind of lead some think tanks around here, you know? It's like they seem to be really like the people who ask really good questions and hard questions too, I might add, but questions that usually lead us to a good place. Even when we were out in Nevada in January.
Was Cole with us?
Oh, no, Cole's not allowed to go. I think his probation officer won't let him go to Nevada. But,
gosh.
But anyway.
I'm sorry, Cole. I did not approve this.
Can we just start over at this point?
This is great. But yeah, when we were in Vegas even, or outside Vegas, Henderson, you even asked some questions that made the whole room stop. And so that's what I really appreciate about you. So basically... the church has kind of raised its hand in a bunch of different areas of life right now with all the things going on around race, with everything going around with COVID, different things like that. And we're all wrestling with it internally and externally. And so I just going to hand the keys to you and go take us on a kind of a journey of conversation. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me come in.
Yeah. Thanks.
I feel like you guys have thrown out some things of like, hey, we can go this direction or that direction, but I feel like there's sometimes where like there's just such an obvious conversation to have that like we can't go any other way. So what I'd love to know is like, how are you all feeling and like what are you processing after this past weekend with Ben's message and
I thought you were gonna talk about global warming. I was way off.
Oh yeah, well we could go that way too, but
no, I think it's obvious that it's what we need to talk about. Hey, so just everybody knows, this is Paul Brunner. On our lead team, and Michael Kane on our lead team. Two of our other lead team are out of town. Well, Jesse tore his Achilles, and he's in quarantine, going to have surgery. And then Karen's out of town, and everybody knows Ben, of course. But yeah, so rephrase that question, and let's just see where it goes.
Yeah, so after this past weekend, like, what are you all, on a personal level, kind of processing and thinking and feeling with both what Ben talked about and, like, the responses you've gotten?
Yeah. Guys.
Yeah, so we watched the message last night, and just from a family perspective, it brought up a whole lot of conversations. And whenever you have a family conversation, I don't know if it can be bad or good, but I did think it was good, and it just really shows the amount of, because my two kids that watched it with me are 17 and 16, and boy, just the amount of raw emotion that is there. My daughter went down to the protest on Saturday, and she's super passionate about the fact that there's been police brutality in the past and what that looks like. And so she's super raw about that, and that was really good to talk to her. And then my son is more reserved, and so for him to express his feelings is a little more difficult, but we had a really good family chat, and it just shows me that everyone is processing through this, and to be able to talk about it and stay engaged is super important. So we probably chatted for maybe an hour after watching the service last night. It was just really, really good. So again, thanks to Ben and Jim for actually just cracking that open. But I was just super pleased that we were able to have a conversation and to talk about that, because back in my day when I was growing up, way back when, my parents would have never had that conversation. We never would have opened that up. And so just the fact that our country's now talking about that, I think is a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah. I would say for me, it's just been a week of tension. And actually, it's been several weeks of tension. And just walking through that, not only internally, but with our staff. I think as we've battled through just as a church, how do we step forward in this current circumstances, that there's just been a feeling of there's almost a division within the walls of our staff, just because we've got some of our staff who may be married to police officers or family that are police officers. I know, Craig, you pointed out that your dad and your brother are police officers. And then we've got others that go, how do we support a movement? How do we support change and the tension of trying to work through that? So it's been a stress-filled week for me and what we've been walking through.
That yeah. makes sense.
I think... For me, is so I was watching the services, and then here came the comments, and I think Ben had just read, okay, let's be slow to anger, you know, quick to listen and really slow to speak, and I found myself starting to engage in a comment, and I felt anger coming up, mm-hmm. because it was like, first of all, I knew where Ben was going with the rest of his talk. I know Ben's heart, and I know the heart of this place, and then I also know my own heart. And it's like, so like when you go, hey, we're late to the party, but we're here, and we're sorry, but we want to do better. And then here come the comments like, where were you 10 years ago? And what about the last one? And what about the last one? And I'm like, guilty as charged, but you know, I think if you're in counseling and you know, you're with your wife and she says, I'm late to the party, but I really want to work on our marriage. The response is not, well, where were you last night? Now, maybe that's just the anger and you got to let it go. But what I found myself finally just doing was I typed this. And I don't know why you always, whenever you type or text, when you say text, you do this. I don't know why.
Unless you're past 16.
That's how you do it. That's how you text. Yeah.
Yeah. So finally I just did this. Could everybody just stop commenting and listen? And then I turned off the comments, because when you're engaging, you're missing what he's teaching, mm-hmm. because it's going on, or you're jumping ahead and go, oh, he said white privilege. That person blanked out and just started vomiting about that and going, you didn't even listen to the definition. Mm. You heard the word. And so I find the things that I'm really angry at other people about, like, you're not listening, right? I'm really guilty of it too. Mm-hmm. And that's, I hate that. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I want everybody else to be guilty, but I don't want to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's such a charged conversation too. Mm-hmm. Like, no one comes to this conversation neutral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's like a concept that you didn't talk about this, I don't think, during the message, but like this concept called white fragility, which is like, they didn't pick like the most, you know, non-confrontational name for it. But the idea is like, like we may as well call it out, like we're five white guys sitting at a table talking about race,
right?
Right? And like when white people talk about race, it's not something that we've had to think about. Kind of like you said, like race hasn't made your life difficult. Mm-hmm. And so like it's hard for us to like navigate that. And like you hear some of that stuff and like you get angry. And so like that concept of fragility is like, hey, it's really easy for us when we're talking about race to go from zero to insanely pissed,
mm-hmm.
and on any side of it.
Yeah. I listen to all kinds of music. So I was listening to this Catholic priest who took a lot of the Catholic prayers and put them to music back in the 70s. Wow. John Michael Talbot.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, but it's just really chill. It's really great to listen to on a porch or in your truck by yourself. But there's a line in there, and I don't know what Catholic confessional prayer this is, but so we confess that we have sinned by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. And so that's what I've been really trying to focus on, that second part. I think I even prayed that going into your talk this past weekend, is like the sins of commission and omission. It's like I really go back through and go, you know, I'm not flawless when it comes to my humor or things in the past, right? On a lot of different levels. But I can't remember that I've consciously treated a person of color in a negative way. I'm not saying, I don't remember. I do know that I have been passive and I have avoided and I have pretended that it wasn't my problem. And that's what I'm trying to confess as sin, yeah. You know, is that I have to confess my own sin and then come with. And I thought you nailed this great, Ben, with this. I got to humble myself and stop coming in going, you know, I didn't have slaves. I didn't do this. I've never done, you know, and just throw that away and go, but what have I done, you know? And I will say this, that I was having a conversation with a person of color, Hispanic background, and he told me he just watched the service, and he said, hey, that brought a lot of healing around to me, some pain and stuff I've been going. And I said, I don't, if the weekend was step one, because step two, we want to become better friends, because I would love to hear the story about that. Yeah. I just want to listen to the story. And he was like, damn, yeah. You know, and so I don't know where it goes, but I just know that I think my biggest sin in this is omission, or what I've failed to do, failed to say, or just turn a blind eye to. That's where my conviction is right now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
So Ben, I know we didn't get to kind of how you're feeling about the weekend. So can you tell us that? And then I've got that application brought up a really good question that I'd love to hear.
I feel the way I'm wired, I have like a huge problem with saying I'm going to do something and then not following through. Mm-hmm. Like some of the biggest regrets I have are like I said I would do something and I didn't do it. So I guess I have
a list of those, but
I'll get it done. So I guess there's a fear around steps 2, 3, and 4. I still have no idea what they are. I think that we're on track and have the right group of people to start discussing what that might look like. But I don't know. I guess there's this, I don't want to look back a year from now and be like, yeah, we didn't really, it was like a weekend where we promised a lot and delivered little.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is law enforcement. Like, I feel tender toward anyone. I mean, we've always been the church that is like, we support law enforcement. We're proud of that. And that hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
But like, for example, I sent this talk to my buddy, good friend of mine, who police officer. He's on the SWAT team. He's been down there for the riots. And he told me the truth. He's like, dude, I love you. I know you. So I hear this and it's challenging to me. He's like, but I just know that me and my buddies, like, we're so close to the thing right now that we can't really see it very objectively. Like, he was just really honest with me about that. He was like, I think you should teach it. But you just got to understand there's a lot of people in law enforcement who just, they can't hear it right now. And I just have several buddies who are in law enforcement. I know we have a lot of people in our church in law enforcement. So I feel tender to that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and so like as you say that, like I talked to my brother a little bit about this. He's currently a cop. My dad retired from the police department. And I think knowing both of them, it's hard to kind of stand in what you call the dangerous middle of this and process like, okay, on one side of this, I know my dad and brother who like are not racist and are incredibly caring men and who like they stepped into police work out of like a sense of duty and calling. Mm-hmm. And like my brother has even said that where he's like, I don't want to be doing something that doesn't mean something. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like we can look around at all of these incidents that have kind of come up and there's this weird tension, and I think part of it is because, like, in America, we're so individualistic. Like, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Like, I'm gonna do mine, and I'm like my own person.
Our country was founded on that idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and so we don't have like a sense of collective mourning or collective repentance. Where like you look in the Bible and the Hebrews, like one dude steals gold, and everybody's like, you brought a sin on the nation, and then there's like fire and rocks, and yeah. So, I think
is that what you're proposing?
I mean, I don't know. We can figure it out. No, what I'd love to know though, for you guys, as you've processed this, and you know, I hear you saying like, "Hey, I don't have anything I'm personally regretting necessarily, other than."
I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's stuff. It's just like
in
the forefront of my mind is everything I haven't done, as opposed to what I have.
Totally. So what was the wake-up call that took you from, like, hey, I don't, like, this isn't an important thing, to man, we have to talk about this on the weekend. Like, we have to do something in our church. What was your moment of waking up to that?
For me, I was my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, and I are like really good friends, talk all the time. And he and I were having a discussion after all the George Floyd stuff started kind of escalating. We started to see riots and stuff. And then talking with him and realizing, for me, it was realizing that our nation, how do I explain this? I think our nation is having, man, I don't know. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. Our nation is kind of having this response to what happened to George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, that is calling it unjust, which is true in the kingdom of God. They just don't know how to act on it. And it was this realization of like, our nation kind of has the correct heart about it. They just don't know how to execute. Hmm. Why don't I have the correct heart about it? Mm-hmm. You know, I was just railing with my brother-in-law going like, all these people who are suddenly social justice activists on social media, and I know you, and you know, I was just like angry and mad. I'm like, just step out of it. It's not our battle. Like, and then just kind of sitting in that going like, wait a minute. Like, the heart behind the response is one of anger and sadness, and that's the correct heart to have about it. I don't think that's being executed perfectly in the response, but like, I don't even have the right heart about it. Mm. I was just kind of like, let them, that's not our battle. Like, mm-hmm. step out of it and stop being the white guy who's like the champion for black people. Like, just step out, shut up. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, should we step out and shut up? I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's where then I started looking through scripture. And that's where I just personally was like, that was a tool I learned when I took a couple courses in seminary of like, just look at whatever you're dealing with through the narrative arc of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you look at it and you're like, oh, it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started for me.
And I learned you went to seminary.
I didn't finish.
Paul, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I think, and Jim, you had noted that these two guys have been a part of this process for me, but I think you've been in my grill a little bit, Krieger, to go, hey, there are things that we need to address that I think as leaders, at times we get stuck in our ways and the way we handle things and the way we look through things. And especially over the weekend, you said, hey, would you be open to sitting down on Tuesday and really begin to work through this? And we're going to sit together with people of color and just hear their stories and just the profound moments of those times, and just all of a sudden understanding as they've seen these things and how they've played out in the mix of their lives, it just was incredibly impactful for me.
Yeah, I would say, to piggyback off of what Ben just said, the words that I would use for what Ben just described is, this is my biblical worldview, right? So, because let's face it, the world is only going to get probably more complex and more crazy, or whatever term you want to use. And so if you're waiting for society to define what your response should be, you're going to be tossed about by the wind and the waves, or what else is in the current political climate or social economic climate. But again, to go back again to what Ben was saying, we have to run everything through that filter of what is it that Jesus says about this, right? And so Ben hit the nail on the head again when you go, this is who God has created us to be. This is who he says about us. And so we have to be able to study the Bible and to run everything through that filter of what does God say is right, true, and best for me. And so I think this is just so, so important. And so for me personally, and Ben's talk that really struck home for me is that, much like Ben, I grew up in a white part of town. I went to a white high school, a white college. I live in Colorado, one of the whitest states. I'm on staff with almost all predominantly white people. And so I don't know a whole lot of black people. And so my response is to be open to what the other side of the argument is. And I don't even know if I am on a side of the argument, but I need to do better myself to go, I need to be, again, slow to speak and quick to listen and to put myself in other people's shoes, because if not, it just perpetuates itself. And as I said before, our world is just going to continue to get crazier and crazier. And so this is going to get more and more complex. It's not complicated, like Ben said, it's complex.
Yeah, that's good. And yeah. One thing you said that's really interesting is, like, I've heard a lot of people talk about, like, well, you know, you're just reacting to something. Mm-hmm. But what you just said that was really good is, like, yeah, of course, because I can see that the world is entering into a huge shift. And if I just wait to see where it falls out, then, like, I'm just letting someone else decide for me. Yeah. So I'm actually, because I see this shift, gonna now educate myself and learn and try to figure out what I do believe and what God says, so that when the world shifts, I know how I stand.
Absolutely, because who cares what Fox News says or CNN or whatever you follow, or Facebook or whoever. I want to go back to, what does God says is right, true, and best? What does he say? Because that's my truth. And if I hold truth to that, then I can navigate these social injustices or whatever that we're facing right now. So that gives me pause to think, our church is actually on the right trajectory. Again, what Jim and Ben said, we're late to the party, but from this point forward, we're going to do the best we can moving forward.
That's good.
Hey, buddy, going to take a time out right now. This is so important. This conversation is so important that we're just going to take a break right here and then pick up part two on Thursday. Okay? Thank you. See you.